Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. It's Wednesday. That means it's time for sports. And joining us now is Radio Boston's very own Chris Sidorick. Hey there, Chris.
Hey, Callum.
All right, let's begin with these Celtics. Just when I'm ready to give up on them, again, they start to look like the team we all imagined at the beginning of the season. They broke a four-game losing streak last night. A big 33-point blowout in Oakland over the Golden State Warriors. Is this a sigh of relief or is this just a fluke?
I guess it's a sigh of relief. I mean, it's crazy. This is maybe the highest high for this team coming off of the lowest low in what has been an absolute roller coaster of a season. You mentioned the four-game losing streak. They were 3-7 over their last 10 games going into last night, which is as bad as it's been. So on the one hand, it's good to stop the bleeding, obviously, and to see them put up the kind of effort they put up last night. You also had some things worth highlighting. There was some great team defense, and Gordon Hayward had an amazing game. He put in 30 points. That could be a turning point for him. He's obviously coming off that horrific injury from last season. He said that he feels fine physically and that it's the mental aspect of his game that has really kept him from becoming the player he was. That's obviously scary to hear. He's, I know, working with a psychologist, talking about those mental issues, watching a lot of tape. So you hope that he can kind of get that aggressiveness back. But obviously a win against the best team in the league is a great thing. I actually saw that coming. I picked them last night because there was so much media criticism. It felt like kind of the apex of the media narrative that this team is done and garbage and a toxic environment. So that's easy to rally behind for these guys. I don't know if it's sustainable for the rest of the season in the playoffs.
Right. I mean, if you need that to get up every time, eventually it sort of wears off. And, you know, it is just one game. They played well as a unit last night, but the sort of chemistry issues on this team are well documented, Chris. I mean, we just heard from shooting guard Jaylen Brown talking to the Boston Globe, calling the team's atmosphere toxic. I mean, that's pretty strong language, and one win doesn't cure it, does it?
Not a word you want to hear from one of your players, especially one of the young guys. Chemistry is so important in basketball. I would say it's probably the sport where chemistry is the most important. In football, you've got 50-plus guys on the roster. You've got offense, defense, special teams. So if you don't like a couple of your teammates, no big deal. Baseball is such an individual sport. You have a team, but at the same time, it's one pitcher, one hitter facing off in an individual contest. In hockey, you work with your lines maybe in terms of chemistry. You don't necessarily need to have that incredible team chemistry. And also, hockey players kind of don't have that diva attitude that a lot of NBA players have. Basketball, it's five guys on the floor. You have to be working all as pieces of a well-oiled machine. And so if you don't trust the guys around you, if you're not be able to anticipate what they're going to do on offense. Defense is all about effort, and if you're not willing to go to war with the guys next to you, that really can hurt your team. You can have all the talent in the world. If you aren't on the same page as each other, you're just not going to be successful. I also think this is a really interesting test for Brad Stevens. We know he's a good coach. We know he can take a team and have them outperform their expectations, a la last season. The question is, can he take this incredible roster of talent and take them to greatness?
Well,
remains unanswered.
Maybe all the team needed, though, Chris, was some forced togetherness. You know, they had a six-hour flight out to Oakland for this game. Well, that was a long time to get together with nobody but one another. And here's what Kyrie Irving had to say about it after the game.
That long plane ride helped us out. You know, we needed it. We needed it. We were going to get to a point where we were just going to get tired of, you know, fighting each other, fighting, you know, the outside world. It doesn't really matter. So we just want to come out here and just play basketball. This is our sanctuary, and we have to do everything to protect it. We can't let anybody infiltrate this.
So what's he talking about there, Chris? I mean, what kind of outside noise and distractions have been messing with this team?
Well, first of all, if I'm the coach, I am now saying everyone takes a team bus up 93 during rush hour to the Garden for every game.
Because make it as long as possible.
Confined space, that's what we need. This team has really, there's been so much drama off the court. Who's going to be here next year? Who's not? Are they going to make a trade? And that has clearly seeped into their play on the court and affected. You have guys kind of looking for their own stats. This is a team where you're asking these younger, unestablished players to take a step back from last year to get less minutes and less opportunities to showcase their talents. They feel like that's maybe hurting their chances for a big contract down the road. There's a lot of factors to balance.
You know, the Celtics may be an extreme case of a problem with team chemistry, but there seems to be sort of a league-wide trend here, Chris. I mean, we just had MIT hosting its annual sports analytics conference, and that brought the NBA's commissioner Adam Silver to town, and he made some striking remarks about how unhappy and disconnected a lot of today's players are.
To the outside world, they say, how is it possible? Like, they could even be complaining. A lot of these young men are genuinely unhappy. I mean, some have come from very difficult circumstances. That doesn't help. Some of them are amazingly isolated. If you're around a team in this day and age, their headphones on, they're isolated and their head down.
Okay, so we are in the outside world that Adam Silver is talking about there, Chris. So how is it possible that they could be so unhappy?
Yeah, it's fascinating, right? Because these are guys who, your first instinct is, no way they could be unhappy. They're making $30 million a year. They work 6 or 7 months a year. And they're out there playing a game, basically, for their living. But at the same time, he seems to be right. If you look around the league, can you name any superstars that are happy in their current situation other than maybe Steph Curry in Golden State? It seems like all of the faces of this league are thinking about where their next contract's going to be. What team do they want to play for? What market do they want to be in? How are they going to promote their brand? Not to mention the social media factor. Guys like Kevin Durant, one of the best players in the league, is responding to random people on Twitter who are coming after him for performances in games. It's a crazy place for this league to be, and it'll be really interesting to see kind of how they mesh. This is a time where the players have maybe more control and influence than ever before, and yet they seem unhappier than ever before, too.
All right, well, for all their struggles, the Celtics are comfortably in playoff position, so a lot of basketball left to play. It's not football season, Chris, but I do want to spend a little bit of time there because the football season seems to never really end. And we have an interesting story going on this week. So after Robert Kraft has been charged with soliciting prostitution, there's a petition circling online for Boston-based Gillette to cut its ties with the Patriots and drop its name from the stadium. And those critics are pointing to Gillette's much-talked-about ad from earlier this year that was a nod to the Me Too movement, and an aim at toxic masculinity.
Because we believe in the best in men.
Men need to hold other men accountable.
Smile, sweetie. Come on.
To say the right thing. To act the right way.
Bro, not cool. Not cool.
All right, so this petition has 14,000 signatures, Chris. That's not nothing. And, the allegation is hypocrisy here. I mean, does Gillette need to back up the message it sent in that commercial with the action of dumping the Pats?
Need to is an interesting question. You could say if they believe the message they're putting out there, then it would make sense that they have to. But activist companies, generally speaking, are not actually in it for the cause. When Nike signed Colin Kaepernick, it wasn't because he's promoting this message of social justice. It's because they knew they were going to get the headlines. They knew they were going to get the clicks. And so I really think the only way you see Gillette pull out of this deal is if it actually makes business sense.
All right. Last thing. We are, by my count, 11 days from Selection Sunday. That'll be the beginning of March Madness. And I want to ask you a little bit about a recent development in college basketball. This is the bribery scandal that's been unfolding over the last couple of years. And now three men, including a former Adidas executive and a former Adidas consultant, have been sentenced to federal prison for conspiring to pay families so that top recruits would commit to Adidas-sponsored schools. It sounds all very scandalous, and in a way it is, Chris, but call me cynical. Isn't this just business as usual in college sports?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you use that phrase. The judge had a very similar sentiment in his sentence. I don't think this is going to change the landscape, but maybe we look back on this moment and say that's the start of the changing landscape because you are seeing actual prison time now for these guys. But it's worth looking at the actual sentences. James Gatto, the Adidas executive, who got 9 months prison time, and we should say that this is still eligible for appeal, but he was up for anywhere between 46 to 57 months, so a very light sentence for what he was up for. And the judge actually said this happens, quote, with some frequency in college basketball. So I also want to point out there was, according to the judge, an unforgettable moment in the trial where on a recorded conversation between two of the individuals involved, they were referring to Louisville coach Rick Pitino. Louisville is one of the schools involved in this scandal. And they said that Rick Pitino, quote, knows something but doesn't know everything. So it's all about feasible deniability and protecting the major players. I think until you see a major name go down, nothing really is going to change.
Rick Pitino does know that Larry Bird is not walking through that door.
That's right. That's right. That. Kevin McHale not walking through that
door. Not walking through the door. All right. That's Radio Boston's Chris Siderick. Thanks, as usual, for your time.
Thanks, Cal.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderick, who you just heard from, Paris Alston, Zoe Mitchell, Eve Zukoff, and Walt Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Callum Borchers. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.
Wait, don't go yet.
Because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.